man, people were killing balls all night. I mean, they were hitting them hard. And Shildt went to the mound and got Waino after 3 2/3 when he had a 7-run lead. And I like that. I like that. I saw Wainwright give up missile after missile after missile after missile in Cincinnati. And so he went to the bullpen, and he's managing like they need to win these games. So that was big. And he pulled Michael Wacha with a big lead in St. Louis on Sunday after he pitched 4 2/3. All he needed was one more out to get a win. So I like what Mike Shildt is doing with the Cardinals. The only other thing, the only issue I've got with him right now a little bit is that Matt Carpenter had a good game on Sunday, but boy, I don't know. He looks like to me that he might be done. I did see last night Yachty try to run out a ball that was hit in the infield to Mike Moustakas, who he ended up hurting his wrist on it. I think right now I would challenge Yachty to a race to first base. What are the odds on that, Dusty?
I'll take Yachty.
Yachty's a favorite. He's the favorite.
Yeah, you know, I would say you're probably at about a plus 425.
It's 90 feet. That's basically 30 yards. I don't think my body would have a total breakdown. You know,
the chance of you tearing a hamstring is very high. When was the last time you opened up?
Achilles.
When was the last time you opened up? Like, I'm not talking a little jog. I'm talking about full sprint.
It had been 2009 in Clinton, America, where I defeated Jessica Schambach, who is in incredible shape. Cross trainer, you know.
Didn't she fall
exerciser.
Down?
I fell down, but then down. I got back up, and then we ran again, and I was able. It was like a majestic finish. Like, I was behind, and I closed strong. And I got her by about two links at the wire.
I can hear Chariots of Fire in the background as you cross.
That's kind of what it looked like, man. That's what it looked like. Only it was like Bizarro Chariots of Fire. It was like the Fat Man's Relay, Dusty, for me, is what it was. I mean, and again, that was like at a pretty high weight level for me at that time. I'm a little less than I was at that point. So I haven't lost since then. I'm undefeated in 10 years.
90 feet's only 30 yards, man.
That's right. I can make 30 yards.
Okay. Yeah, you probably.
I'm much more than that. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm still going to take Yachty, though. By the way, where is he? He's got to be one of the most beloved Cardinal players for you, right? Is he a top 10 all time for you?
Probably in that list. I mean, in terms of being decorated, I've never just kind of gotten on board like with Yachty fever. I don't know why.
He's a big fan favorite with the Cardinals.
Yeah, he is huge, and he deserves that. I mean, he's been loyal to the organization, and he's a Hall of Famer. I like Lou Brock, Willie McGee, Ted Simmons, one of my first favorite Cardinal guys.
I know who Ted Simmons is. I'm sorry. I feel
he's
bad.
He's a catcher. Okay. I like Silent George Hendrick in the early 80s.
Obviously the Wizard.
Ozzie Smith is probably number one.
I think
of
that's
all
every
time.
Cardinals fan.
I think, yeah, he has to be.
Your age group,
I can tell you my least favorite Cardinal.
Okay.
Matt Morris.
Albert Pujols has to be in your top 10.
Yeah, he's up there. He was great.
Matt Morris. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Matt Morris.
Remember Jack Morris? Who's Matt Morris?
Matt Morris was a pitcher in the 90s. They came to Oklahoma City, and when I was working at Channel 5, I was going to try to get a little interview with him. I was interviewing some of the players, and I just needed some sound to take back to the station. And Matt Morris said, nope, not going to do it. I'm sorry.
He big-leagued you.
Come on, Matt Morris. Whatever. Not even
you can't big-league Mark Rogers. That's weak.
That's why everybody says, oh man, it'd be great to cover my favorite team. No, I don't think so. I don't want to cover my favorite team. I just want to see the baby. I don't want to see how the baby's made. I don't want to go behind the scenes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. You just want to sit back and kind of be a fan from afar as opposed to be right there in the thick of things. I think that's right.
Was it tough for you when you were doing media at OU?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. I mean, just because, you know, I think it's – I prefer not being – you know, I appreciate it, enjoyed it. It gave me – it's a launching pad for my broadcasting career. That gave me some, you know, great opportunities. But, I mean, there's definitely, you know, got to be mindful of, you know, who you're representing, who you're working for when you talk. So, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I had a great time. I enjoyed it. But just a little bit different, you know. I think that's kind of what you're alluding to.
Yes. For me, it was kind of tough. I mean, again, it wasn't – like, you're not trying to be overly objective in that job that both you and I had. And I agree with you, man. That's the sideline job. Not a lot to it. It's really fun. Traveling with the team is great and all that stuff. But if you're not doing things exactly the way they want it done, sometimes there can be some criticism. So, I'm like, come on, man. I started going to OU games when I was six. I mean, you don't have to question if I'm, you know, not trying to beat up on the team or something.
Say, listen, I have an entire attic.
That's right.
With nothing but OU programs. If you need to know how I feel, people.
Exactly.
Just let them know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I think when you're that close to, if you have fandom or you played somewhere and you're that dialed in that close, it can create a little bit of, I don't know about problems, but it can make it a little bit difficult. It can be a little dicey. You got to navigate. A little gymnastics, if you will.
That's right. That's right. That is right. So,
anyway, I think I'm going to make it. I'm going to be there Sunday night.
Well, cool.
I got my game on Saturday, and I'm going to fly into Oklahoma City. I get back by Sunday, so it'd be nice to get a chance. You know,
what are you doing on the Blitz on Sunday night? Are you guys just going live from the stadium?
I think so, yes. That's what I was told. Yep. We'll do it live from the stadium. You know, when I had the Friday night gig, it was pretty sweet because I had a chance to make like two or three home games for Oklahoma. But then, you know, my first year and then last year, rarely do I get a chance to see. I think the only game I went to last year, I guess I called two games. I did the Baylor game, which, what am I talking? I mean, that's not easy in of itself. And then I did the Big 12 championship on radio, and I went to the playoff game. But I haven't been there in a non-working capacity in a couple years. Yeah, which I guess I'll even be in a working capacity Sunday night, I guess, because I'll be doing the Blitz after.
I remember the first game that I went to that was not in a working capacity, and it was an adventure. Just, I mean, I cannot even discuss the guilty parties that were associated in that day.
So this would be a good time to have this conversation. I need some advice from you. If I haven't decided, I haven't even made any calls, so maybe I'd probably just table this, but I don't know where I'm going to watch the game from, Mark, but my guess is that they're going to want me in like a coat, shirt and tie, you know, for the Blitz, but you know how I perspire.
Oh, No.
So what do I could melt. If I rock that down the sidelines or anywhere in that stadium with no air conditioning, I will melt. So you think a change of clothes, go up, do I change before the show? Like, help me out here, because I'm a little bit nervous about that aspect of this.
You guys, if you do a live shot, man, you wear a button down, like a button up, like a golf shirt. You need to get one of those. Call Dean right now. Dean don't want to put on a
shirt. There's no way Dino is going to be in a golf shirt.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely he will. Yes.
Okay.
On a live shot, you don't need to go in a suit and tie. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's just, I'm not a news anchor.
Suit
I don't know.
Suit and tie and just studio only. Just suit and tie and studio only. You don't want to overdress. I can't imagine going to a football game in a suit and tie. Yikes.
Well, I just said a coat and shirt and tie. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know, man. I think you're off on this. I've seen plenty of news anchors doing live shots from OU before or various stadiums in a jacket and tie. I think you're off on this.
Yeah. Well, not many. I mean, some.
Not ones that sweat like me, I can tell you that.
It's not ideal. Oh. It's not an ideal situation. If I was still working at OU, I might get some heat from saying this, but I don't like these games of releasing the depth chart. Just release a depth chart. Everybody in the locker room knows who's good and who's not. If it's that close where they're going to have to rotate guys in practice this week with the first team, then you can put an or out there. I don't think they're doing that for anything internal. I don't think there's any advantage gained externally. I mean, you're a 24-point favorite over Houston. If you think that's going to give you an edge to beat them because they don't have a depth chart, like Dana doesn't know that Jalen Hurts is going to go out there with the first team. Come on. I just think put the depth chart out. Not that hard.
You know, I don't really care. I mean, I care in my profession because we need the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like? What? Yeah, if you were doing a game this week, in Memphis and Ole Miss, and they don't give you a depth chart. I mean, that's kind of tough to work with.
Well, I can say this. I don't think Michigan's ever given a depth chart since Harbaugh's been there. I can say that we've been in spots to where they were late to release a depth chart, but then once we got into meetings, they tell you one on one. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the coach SID feels that they can trust you,
if you haven't done anything to break their trust, they'll tell you what's up. I mean, now, not everybody. There's definitely been situations where we found out less than 2 minutes before a kick that a starter is going to be out, and all of a sudden now you got to shuffle your board and, you got to figure out how to approach it. But most people, if you're trustworthy and you haven't burned any bridges, they'll do you a solid and let you know what's going on. The part that I don't understand about it, and again, coaches can do what they want. To me, it really just goes to coaches. They're some of the most paranoid people on the planet. I mean, they're just paranoid about everything.
Yes.
And it's universal. Like it's most coaches that I've come across. Like I'm not putting one coach or another into a corner. This is all of them. They're so paranoid, and it's college coaches more so than NFL coaches. They are so paranoid that, information is going to slip out, game plan is going to slip out, depth chart, whatever. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Like I would say releasing a depth chart yesterday, and I think Houston did the same thing, releasing depth charts would have zero bearing on the outcome of that game. Zero bearing. Now, there may be an instance if you had a quarterback who you had two quarterbacks, and one was a definite pocket passer, wasn't mobile, and they ran a certain offense with this guy. And then you had B over here, a quarterback who was not a good thrower, and he was a big-time runner. And the game plan you knew based off of who would be playing would be completely different. I could understand it in that instance. That's not what we're talking about here.
So, well, hold on, though. With that, you got to prepare for both quarterbacks anyway.
You do.
That's a lot more important than worrying about the depth chart.
I'm just saying, though, what I'm saying is in that situation, I can understand, a coach not wanting to let that out because, to your point, you got to keep them guessing, right? What I'm saying is that's not what's going on right now at Oklahoma. That's not what's going on in a lot of these different places that are reluctant to release the depth chart. The only thing I could come up with is getting more and more to the transfer type of thing. That if one guy's a starter and one guy's not, maybe you upset him, maybe he wants to transfer, but I don't even think that's it. I think it's just as much as anything, coaches wanting to keep all their information close to the vest. They're very paranoid, and they're afraid to let anything out, and I really think it's much ado about nothing. I don't think that releasing a depth chart, again, like I said, is going to have a bearing one way or another on any of these games.
Let's hear from Lincoln Riley on what everyone I'm sure will be watching intently on Sunday night, the OU defense and the possible changes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of positives. I mean, it's again, the way we've flown around to the football, the way we've aggressively attacked the ball, probably at the top of my list right now. I love the mentality our group has. And like you said, it's getting ready to get tested in some different ways. And it's going to have to continue to grow and adapt. But I like that. And then to me, a little bit more sense of a brotherhood on that side of the ball right now. I'm not saying it was missing in the last few years. I just feel it, that group, maybe bonded together a little bit tighter right now, which is always a great thing. So I'm excited to see how that translates to our play and how that gives us leadership and camaraderie throughout this year, because it is a long, tough, demanding year. So I like where the group's head's at right now. I'm as excited to play, see them play as any single person out there. But I like where we're headed.
Lincoln Riley talking about the Oklahoma defense. I mean, I think everybody's intrigued to see it. It's going to look different. Like I've said from the time Alex Grinch was hired, pre-snap shifts, post-snap line movement, stunts, slants, some blitzing. You're going to see a little bit more pressure. It's going to be an aggressive type of defense. And what I will say is we'll see. I think it's going to be better. We'll see exactly how much improved it is. Three areas that I look for: tackles, for loss, sacks, turnovers. That's just three areas that historically with this defense, what Alex Grinch has been able to produce. And everybody's just going to point to Mike Stoops. I don't think it's just Mike Stoops. I think that Brian Odom and what he's brought to that linebacker room. I think Roy Manning, what he's brought to the secondary room. I do think that there is a better buy-in. And maybe that's just because it hasn't worked or failed. So why not buy in? And I do think that the defense is buying what Alex Grinch and his coaches are selling. Now it's time. Now it's time to go out and see if there's actually improvements. If they are going to be a better defense,
they're going to be a better defense. How much better? I'm not sure, but I think it's going to be different. What's your over under for turnovers forced
this season?
You have a good number. Yeah, last year was 11.
Yeah. Do you want me to say what I think it's going to be? Or you want me to set a number as to what would be deemed good or bad?
Yeah, like last year was 11.
I mean,
so.
I think you should look to double that. I mean, because 22 is pretty. I mean, 22 is pretty average. I mean, 22 is not great. It's not terrible. I think you get over 20. Let's set the over under at 20. Let's not go too crazy. So, if they can get 9 more turnovers, takeaways than what they had a season ago, that's definitely improvement.
I mean, that's substantial improvement to me. Maybe more of an indictment on where you were.
11 is really low, man.
I mean, it is really low.
Abnormally low. Last year was an unbelievably low year.
How about sacks? I mean, I don't know what the sack total was last year, but they didn't get many.
I think the sack total was around 28 or 27, 28. I looked it up a couple weeks ago, somewhere in the mid to high 20s. I mean, you want to be over 30. I mean, you know, I think that. Once you get up into the 30s, I think that's fair. I want to say Grinch's last year at Washington State, they were 9th in college football in tackles for loss. They were 9th in the country in takeaways. I think they had 31 takeaways that year at Washington State. And I want to say they were like 19th or 20th in sacks. They had 30-something sacks that year. So I think those are, you know, over 20. Over 30 sacks, and I think tackles for loss last year was, again, a low number for Oklahoma. I think you'd like to be, you know, top 30, 40 in college football and TFLs just because, again, from the style standpoint, if you're not doing that, I mean, that's what this defense is set up to do. You're going to run the risk of giving up some big plays because you're kind of selling out to make those, and when you get the opportunity, you have to make them count. So if you don't see those areas improved, it's going to be tough to say that this defense is, you know, marginally better, because that's kind of the bread and butter in the three areas that this defense really, that's where you should see the biggest benefits, tangible gains.
I am here today at the law offices of Edward Grimes. 245-1882 is the number to call. EdwardGrimesLaw.com. Personal injury, workers' comp. If you have a question, give him a call. I'll be happy to talk to you, one-on-one consultation with my guy, Edward Grimes. Also, if it's family law, they can help you with that. Edward can. They do a great job on divorce and estate planning, which are things that estate planning certainly everybody needs. So, wills, you name it, he can help. 245-1882, EdwardGrimesLaw.com. Doug Gottlieb is going to join us in the next 40 minutes. Pat McAfee will join us at 1 o'clock today, so it's a busy show. Stay tuned to the Monsters.
The Morning Animals.
I just picture a homeschool football.
It's great. Definitely will be some overreaction to week one games coming up this weekend, but at least we get to react.
That's what we do, man.
I'm here at Edward Grimes Law today. Edward can take care of you. Acute and personal injury, workers' comp, divorce, probate, wills, social security disability, and much, much more. 245-1882. He will give you the personalized care that you deserve with an attorney. 245-1882, Edward Grimes Law. One more thing before we get back to football, man. It's stunning to see on social media and interact with some of my friends and acquaintances over the damage that was done here last night. I mean, really, you know, I know that a lot of people were out of electricity. I watched the coverage of the storms, but it's affected a ton of people that I know. A good friend of mine got struck by lightning in his own house. So it's crazy what happened last night. So everybody that's dealing with that stuff today, man, we feel for you. Was that storm, I mean, as much as any kind of tornadoes or things like that we didn't have a lot of this year in the Oklahoma City metro area, but that affected a ton of people in Oklahoma City with huge high winds. And it doesn't have to be a tornado to cause a lot of damage. And the lightning last night was just off the charts, just so much constantly coming down.
That video, Matt Ravis, and Matt, jump in here, that was that was wicked, man. Were you a little nervous?
Dude, that was the most intense lightning I can ever remember. I stood out there for maybe a minute, and I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it was just insane. So, yeah, I happened to get a really good video of it, though.
You did. That lightning strike looked like it was right there.
Yeah, no, it was all around. And, I mean, there was, like, one of those every single, like, 60 seconds, if that. like I said, I mean, just the most sustained lightning and the wind. So luckily I didn't lose power or anything. But yeah, it's there was a little bit of tornadic activity, right?
Yeah, there was. There was a couple of tornadoes. I mean, I've seen some of the yeah, so even if it's a small tornado or, you know, winds of 85, 100 miles an hour, it's going to do some serious damage. But I think a lot of the damage that was done last night that you see from people, especially with the electricity, was the lightning.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
question.
That was insane.
Hey, Marcus, we got a lot to get to, and we can easily talk football all day, but we haven't taken phone calls this week, so we'd love to get them if you'd like. 460-9957. A lot of people having fantasy drafts coming up this weekend, and obviously a couple nights, and it is the start of college football officially with Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. How great is this weekend, by the way? We get college football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Is anyone with me? Can I get an amen, Marcus?
That's great, and I also love the fact that you have a Sunday and Friday relevant, you know, games around here.
Yes, absolutely.
So then Saturday is kind of free to do what you want.
Yeah, and we'd love to have you. 11 o'clock, ABC, Ole Miss and Memphis. And the more I'm digging into that game, that's an interesting game to me. I didn't realize how big of a rivalry it is, Mark. 86 miles between Memphis and Ole Miss. Memphis is like a 6.5 favorite. And I was listening to Matt Luke, head coach at Ole Miss, his press conference yesterday. They are using it as motivation, reminding his players that they're underdogs to a group of five school. They're putting it up all over the locker room. So they definitely it has not gone upon deaf ears there in Mississippi that they are an underdog in this opener. Do you know who the offensive and defensive coordinator at Ole Miss is this year, Mark?
No, I do not. Let me know.
Pretty interesting. Rich Rodriguez. Huh, Rich Rod?
I did read that, yes. You're right.
And Mike McIntyre, former Colorado San Jose State and Colorado head coach. That's the coordinators. I thought that was kind of interesting hires by Matt Luke for a guy who's somewhat on the hot seat to bring in a couple of coaches that have had some success. Just kind of lends itself to being easily replaced, I think. But it's a big year for them, man. Big year for Ole Miss, and same with Memphis. I think Mike Norvell is one of the better group of five coaches. He will be probably one of the first in line to get that next big job. We've talked about this, Mark, but that American Conference has kind of just been a feeder system to bigger and better jobs. Scott Frost, obviously Tom Herman. We just saw Jeff Collins go from Temple to get the Georgia Tech job. And you made a good point the other day when we were talking to Todd Blackledge, it was yesterday, about Houston stepping up and paying, you know, big money to get a coach in Dana Holgorsen. And as good as that is for Houston, I don't know if that's sustainable for the rest of the league, Mark. Like, I don't know if other schools, if your Memphises, are going to be able to, you know, provide the type of revenue to quality coaches that they can get elsewhere.
It's a lopsided rivalry, 47 wins, only 11 for Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Big, I think this will be the 33rd time they've played on opening weekend of college football. So, again, a regional rivalry that I didn't really know existed, but I'm very excited to check out this.
Now, is the game in Memphis? It's in Memphis, right?
Yeah, Liberty Bowl, which I hear is.
Yeah, too bad it wasn't in Oxford.
Yeah, I would love to go down and check out the hoity-toity.
Side of the Katy Perry curse on Trevor Knight.
One of the game days that will live in infamy, Mark.
Yeah, you think Trevor Knight would go back and do that any different?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What was that? That was TCU week, right?
Yeah.
Because that day, Ole Miss did take down Alabama. I think it was Chad Kelly, and TCU took down Trevor Knight in Oklahoma there in Fort Worth.
And it wasn't Trevor Knight's fault. He played pretty well. The offense had a good day.
Was it Trayvon Boykin? I think it was Trayvon Boykin that game.
Yeah, it was a high score.
Yep. And they were TCU was good that year. That's the year. Isn't that the year TCU should have won the they lose to Baylor? Baylor came back, and isn't that the same year that they finished 4-5 or whatever?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think that was 2013 maybe. 2013, I can't remember if it was 13 or 14, but that was definitely Wow. Katy Perry, she made Trevor Knight, made him famous for a day, but it was in a losing effort.
So. I don't think he'd change it for a second. I don't think that for him it had anything to do with winning or losing, you know. But anytime you get shouted out by Katy Perry, it's probably good.
Yeah. Probably good. Probably not a bad thing. Your Q rating is pretty high if Katy Perry is giving you a shout out. Hey, I did not mention this, but over the weekend I had something happen that was kind of a game changer in my world.
All right.
My middle child Hudson is really getting into sports, and we have video games, but they play like, you know, Minecraft, and they play. You know, Lego games, or I think that we finally broke down and let them get Fortnite. So, you know, stuff like that. But like sports games, we just never really get into. They're, truth be told, my sons have never really been into sports that much, which is crazy considering I'm such a sports junkie. But it just never has happened. Well, Hudson decided that he wanted to get Madden. So I hadn't played Madden, Mark. I tried to figure it out. I think the last Madden I have was like Madden 10. I hadn't played Madden in probably almost 10 years. And there was mm-hmm. a time back in my heyday that whether it was college football or Madden, I was pretty good on the sticks. Like, I wasn't like king, but I could hold my own. I could put somebody, as we would say, I could dub somebody, which is when you beat them by 3 touchdowns. And they're off the sticks. Sticks being the controllers. But it's been a while. So Hudson was telling me, one of his friends was like, hey, you know, was asking if he had Madden, if he ever played Madden. And so Hudson really wanted to get Madden. And so we went and got Madden over the weekend. And I played my first 2 Madden games in probably 10 years. And I got to say, it was glorious. And so I went into it the mentality, I'm going to show this kid what's up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to really smack him around just to, you know, show him who's dad. Initially, and then I'll ease him into it and let him get some success, some confidence, and teach him how to play. So I wound up scoring like on the second play, and I quickly realized I got to dial this way back. So I just started handing the controller every time it was on offense and try to teach him how to pick plays and different things. And by the end of it, scored a couple touchdowns, and it turned out well. So this could be a real game changer in my house, and it could hinder my ability with all the various jobs I have covering college football, because every now and again I may have to slip off and play a little Madden with my 7-year-old. But that was a pretty cool dad moment that my son wanted to go get Madden and we got to play.
Dusty, as somebody who has very fond memories of playing the old NCAA football games with my own dad, that warms my heart.
Well,
that warms my heart a lot. He will remember that for a long time.
I appreciate that. It was fun, man. Again, I hadn't played video. Were you ever a video gamer, Mark? Did you ever get into that stuff?
Yeah,
was that a little after your time?
Yeah, I mean, I started with Pong and built up from there. Yeah,
I mean, like, you know, video games. Like, once they became like legit. And by the way,
well, there was only one video game. It was still a video game. I mean, it was pretty good. You know, like Space Invaders, all that. I always will tell you that the Intellivision was underrated in terms of its football game. And it's baseball game, kind of before its time, and then clearly, it took off. But yeah, we had some battles in college with Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And then after college, not as much. No, you know, no more video games.
Sega Genesis, Bill Walsh college football
hockey
was
good.
The charts.
Hockey was great.
There was a college hockey game?
No, NHL.
NHL.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, NHL was good. That's from Swingers, man.
Yeah, I was in Swingers.
yes. Yes, it was. The graphics, though, on today's Madden are, I mean, if my kids, and I thought whenever I was playing, like I remember we first got the first Sony PlayStation, and I thought that Madden was the greatest thing that had ever happened. Like, it was incredible. And if you took that game from back then and compared it with today's Madden, I mean, it is just, it's a different world. Like, even the announcers. Like, you remember the old games? Like, the announcers would just be, like, generic stuff. You know what I mean? These dudes, it's like they're actually in the game. It's like, I don't know how they do it, but it's Charles Davis, I think, and I think it's Kevin Burkhart. It sounds like their voices. But, like, they're, like, following the game. And it's, like, almost like real announcers. It's kind of crazy how lifelike and realistic video games have become.
Yeah, it's great. All right, we got to take a break. Doug Gottlieb's going to join us next. He's after this short timeout. I'm at Edward Grimes Law, edwardgrimeslaw.com, 405-245-1882. Stay tuned.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
I'm ready for football.
Social Security disability and much, much more. So make sure that you keep him in mind. If you need an attorney, if you need an attorney now, make the call right now, 405-245-1882. Let's welcome in the man. He has been at the center of this massive controversy since Saturday, Doug Gottlieb. How are you doing, Doug?
Currently waiting on a cup of coffee.
That is good. What's the last 48 hours been like for you?
Kind of crazy because I felt like it was dying down and then it didn't. But it's been interesting, super interesting. I mean, you know, I find it really, I don't know, troublesome. I don't know the word, but like, I don't really understand the, you don't like what I say, so... Hey, 23 years ago, you stole a credit card. You're a bad person. Okay. Cool.
I thought your response like yesterday was well done, Doug. I mean,
you're not good at takes if that's your take.
Yeah, you know? I see where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with you. I also have a hard time with just the millennial issue. But anyway.
Okay, well, let's kind of discuss. So,
sure.
What is the What is the biggest, like, the millennial thing is like a trigger. Like, people think of millennial and they read it, and it's all based upon, you know, tone, right? You said to millennial, like, that's negative. Like, oh, how very millennial of you. That's positive. So, I mean, are we in denial that football players especially, but also kind of the younger generation of professionals act, carry themselves differently, have different values than even your or my generation?
I think that's fair. And like, Doug, I mean, I think you're great at your job. You do good things, but I vehemently disagree with this. And I just think it's a slippery slope to try to judge or, you know, make comments like that off someone who clearly is making a tough life decision. If you haven't been in those, I mean, I had 5 surgeries in 5 years. I can tell you, I have a very good idea of what this game does, the toll it takes on your body, mentally, physically, and all that. And, I mean, Andrew Luck, Jim Brown retired at 29 after having 21 rushing touchdowns, leading the league in rushing, so he could go be a movie star. I mean, was he soft?
Well, he's also very politically active. It was kind of a different
But time. I'm just saying, but I mean, we've seen a lot of people retire. Calvin Johnson retires way before. Rob Gronkowski, I mean, I thought it was a great piece on Rob Gronkowski talking about at 29. He retires after winning the Super Bowl because of how much pain he's in. I mean, why can't somebody just make a tough life decision on their own without it being because they're soft or they're a part of an age? And I really didn't like either when you used the Alex Smith comparison. Like, you didn't say Alex Smith's tougher than Andrew Luck? How do we know that?
Yeah.
I mean, but how do you know that?
Apparently it matters more to him to come back and play. I think that is true.
But I mean,
you know, and Alex Smith's been through the complete, yeah.
But that's okay for both guys, though, right? I mean, that's okay for both guys, right? I mean, if Alex Smith...
By the way, huh?
I'm saying if Alex Smith wants to come back and fight through injury, good for him.
Huh?
I disagree with that. I'm in that generation, too. I'm a millennial.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so I'm softer than you? I'm softer than Mark? I'm not as tough-minded? Like, what does that even mean?
No, like, what are the characteristics of millennials?
You tell me, because I don't know. I'm one, and I guess I don't know what they are.
So I have a hard time with the categorization.
I mean, there's a search for joy and meaning, and affirmation and value in your work and everything you do. You know, you listen to the words that he said, and he's like, it took the joy out of it. I get it. Look, I actually do understand when your body's hurting, but you're in a sport which we have championed for years. That football players have this gladiatorial ability to completely tune out what their body is saying and just figure out a way to get back on the field, right? And some of it's Andrew Luck, but also some of it is the way in which Andrew Luck is being viewed and valued by us in the media, by fans, by other players, in that now we're like, well, attaboy, you got what you needed out of the game, now get out. Where, like, look, dude, I get Bo Jackson shattered his hip. Troy Aikman had multiple concussions. Like, unless they're totally lying to us, this is some weird ankle thing that won't heal. Right? Like, this is...
We don't know what's going on, though, Doug, and that's where I'd say be careful. I mean, we don't know.
Part of the reason, like, that's a big reason. By the way, that's a big reason that the Colts fans are so angry. This is the second time in 3 years that they were led to believe Andrew Luck would play for them. So
does that have anything to do with being a but with the comments you made, though? Like, I don't care if the Colts fan base is upset with them or anything like that. I just know this, being someone who's been through a lot of injuries. I said the same thing with Derrick Rose. I am very cautious to be overly critical of anyone when it has to do with an injury. Because you don't know how his body feels. I don't know how his body feels. Not to mention, we should not get in the business of telling people what they should do with their lives. Like, Andrew Luck is a unique human. He is smarter than all of us combined. There's no telling. I think he's got an architectural degree. He went to Stanford. I mean, this guy is like, he may have different plans. That doesn't necessarily make him a millennial. It just makes him a different cat, and it doesn't make his decision one. But I wish he kept playing football.
You're actually kind of making my point for me.
How, though?
He may not be your view of the atypical millennial, but the fact is that millennials do, that they're more apt to move, to pick up and just move. Whereas my generation's kind of in the middle. Our parents, you know, they stuck in the same job.
How many jobs have you had? How many jobs have you had, Doug?
How much have
you moved?
I've had three.
I'm just saying, how are you going to be critical of someone changing their life, making decisions for them, when successfully you've been for ESPN, CBS, you're at Fox now? I mean, just saying, like, right. Mobility, I hear Colin Cowherd and Tom talk about mobility is a good thing. Like, so I don't get your argument
It is, but it isn't something that used to happen. It just isn't. And I think you're reasonable.
So if it's an Achilles and he has to have a surgery, you're going to feel different? Or if we find out this is a really bad injury where he's going to have a serious surgery, you're going to feel dumb that you didn't wait?
It's an Achilles. I think he thinks it's an Achilles. And I think they're telling him it's not. And he thinks, well, they told Kevin Durant it wasn't. Because if you go back to the first time he was interviewed, he made sure to say it's not an Achilles. They've all said it's not an Achilles. Dude, I get it. I understand your body hurting. And that you're like, man, this sucks. But I was always led to believe that, like, football dudes, like, I'll do whatever it takes to get on the football field.
Doug. The dude played through a lacerated kidney, and he was pissing blood. I mean, the guy's shown toughness. The guy is as tough a quarterback as I've seen. He took a beating his first 3 years. He used to throw an interception, and he would go smoke the dude that caught the ball.
One of the reasons.
He is a tough guy. Like, to call him soft or put this on a millennial generation, I think it's misguided. I think it's way off base.
That's okay. Listen, you're allowed to disagree, and you're obviously getting super angry about it.
I'm not angry about it at all. I'm confused on your viewpoint on it.
Okay. You're getting
I'm not angry at all. You didn't make me mad.
A little bit.
No, I'd say Troy Aikman got a lot more mad than me.
If you actually look at when people say, like, traits of millennials, like, the newer generation does have more information, maybe even too much information, right? So I have no doubt that there's other football players that are – we had a rash of guys retire last year. I think this is a new way of thinking. The money is so big, and he's not really somebody who really needs the money per se, but he's made enough money to retire 10 times over, and he can make more money in whatever his next life is. Like, all of this stuff has changed. The league has changed. The need for football, where you're going to draw from, you know, it has changed. And, like, look, this is the big fear for Josh Rosen. It's one of the reasons that Josh Rosen was a hard eval, because I think his mom's a brain doctor. And they're like, dude, first time he gets a concussion, he's going to shut it down. He doesn't even, you know, it's like the old, you know, the football guys say, does he love football? And it's not, maybe it's not that you love football, but do you love football above that of your family and of your future and whatever. Like, look, the NFL has gone about a process of trying to protect quarterbacks like Andrew Luck. Can't hit him below the knee, can't hit him below the neck, can't hit him after they release the ball, can't fall on them. And the Colts have done the same as well. So they realize the problem, but Dusty, I think if you think that football players think the same, act the same, have the same value system as the previous generation, I think you're just getting mad at the word millennial, and you're not actually paying attention.
I'm not getting mad. I just think it was a poor take and just really misguided. I just think there's more going on here with Andrew Luck.
I've heard it like, well, you can't bring it up then. Like, when do you bring it up? Nobody cares in 2 weeks. Zero people care.
You're right. We're going to move on. College football is going to come by this weekend, and we're not going to talk about it anymore, but we are for now. I mean, hey, man, you're right to have your opinion. You voiced it. There's no doubt about that.
Do you think he's done?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that if he gets his body right, maybe not. I have no idea what's going on with Andrew Luck. But I think if he can get healthy and get into a good place, maybe he comes back. But I have no clue.
Hey, we got to go, man. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks, Doug. I'm not mad, man. You and I have completely differing opinions on this. I kind of lived it. And so I kind of really respect and understand where Andrew Luck's coming from. That from a millennial.
All right, very nice. We will take a break. Pat McAfee is coming up next of ESPN. Stay tuned.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus Houston.
Hope you're having a fantastic day out there. I am fired up to introduce our next guest. Had a chance to spend some time with them at our ESPN College Football Seminar meetings a couple of weeks ago. One of the cooler, fascinating cats I've come across. 8-year NFL vet as a punter, a 2-time Pro Bowler, and now... he does it all for the brand. Mr. Pat McAfee of the Pat McAfee Show and new member of the ESPN College Football family. How you doing, Pat?
I'm incredible. Thank you for that introduction. I'm blushing a little bit over here, but I appreciate you, Dusty. It was an incredible time down there in Charlotte. I'm excited to be here, and you're a good dude. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate it. Okay, before we get into too much, if you could, give my listeners the Cliff Notes version of how you went from being one of the best punters in football a few years ago to one of the broadcasting moguls out there right now. What happened? What led you to this new career path? If you could, give us the short version.
Okay, so when I got to the NFL, I was excited. I absolutely loved it. I was very fortunate to kick balls on fourth downs whenever the offense failed. I got a chance to take care of my family and friends. And then towards the end of my career there, I fell out of love with going to work, and I fell in love with everything I was doing off the field, which was philanthropy. I was doing the Bob and Tom radio show, which is a morning show that's syndicated across the country, based out of here in Indianapolis. I was doing stand-up, and my social media was a good time. So I decided to go ahead and take the jump and retire a little bit early after making a Pro Bowl. I worked for Barstool Sports for like a year and a half, got a chance to learn the internet a little bit better. Been running my own operation, having a good time, working with my boys, and now we just speak into microphones, say dumb things, and we're very fortunate that people choose to listen, and we make a living doing it.
This Andrew Luck situation had to hit home with you pretty hard then, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, watching it was heartbreaking, right? He looked like he had been through it there. That press conference was a side of Andrew that I'm not sure many people have ever seen. I mean, he's normally super positive, optimistic, super nice, obviously. People have seen him compliment people who spear him. He's just a super good guy, always positive guy. And to watch him during that press conference, I mean, it was heartbreaking. It really was to see that. And I think it answers the old age cliche that people say that money doesn't always bring you happiness, you know. And Andrew Luck, I think, loved the game of football for a long time, was very passionate. And then he got into this grind of this rehab and the loneliness of it. And I think he explained it as took the joy away from him. And I think Jacoby Brissett's going to do a good job with the Colts. But I'm going to miss seeing Andrew Luck play football, and I hope he finds his happiness again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's one of my favorite players. I love watching him. I always looked at him as a quarterback who almost had a linebacker mentality because of his toughness. I've heard people kind of question his toughness or – that he's a millennial. What are your thoughts of that? Is Andrew Luck a tough guy?
Yeah, and there's always going to be the back in my day, I walked uphill both ways. The world was much harder and tougher back in the day, and I can assume that's accurate. And as things change and evolve and you start to learn more, not only about yourself, but with other people and science, I think these types of decisions are ones that will always be met with, is it an old school issue or is it a new school thing? So I can completely understand that. Hot takes are going to come from humans that don't fully get it all the time, both ways. But with Andrew, I mean, anybody that got a chance to see him play the year that they knew his shoulder was messed up, I guess he had a lacerated kidney in there as well. He had all these injuries. He could barely practice, could barely throw a football. And then on Sundays, he would just show up and show out for our team and sacrifice it all. And then directly afterwards, he was back to just being this beat-up individual who's built like an avatar. And I think anybody who's ever seen him play or got a chance to be a teammate of his knew how competitive he was, knew how tough he was, knew how smart he was. And that's why I think it was so heartbreaking to kind of see where he got to in the end of this whole thing, because he was special, man. He just had that it factor that you wanted. And I was very lucky to be his teammate.
I think the Colts have done a pretty good job of putting some players around him now, so this may be a little different than when he's faced injuries in the past, as in a couple seasons ago. How good can the Colts be with Jacoby Brissett under center?
I liked the team. And when Jacoby got there a couple of years ago, which is also the reason why I think fans overreacted and did the very regrettable boo, is it was a situation where everybody was being told that Andrew Luck was going to come back and play. He was just taking some time off. And then he ended up taking off the entire year. He didn't play the entire year because he was so injured and banged up. But the fans were told that he was going to play. So whenever they brought in Jacoby Brissett, like 10 days before the season started, there wasn't many expectations of him. Nobody really knew what was going to happen. Everybody was disappointed with the situation with Andrew because they thought their once-in-a-generation quarterback was going to be playing. But Jacoby got there 10 days before the season started, knew nobody on the team. Obviously, he came from great tutelage up there in New England in the Tom Brady Wolfpack with Jimmy G. But whenever he got there, he didn't know the offense, he didn't do that, and he still won a couple games. The team was not great. This year, with what Chris Ballard has been able to do, the team is stacked up around him. He's had a couple years in Frank Reich's system, so he kind of knows the way to operate it a little bit. They're going to be adjusting the playbook for him, adjusting the plays for him. I think Jacoby Brissett could have a massive year, or he could have a nothing year. I think it's one or the other, because I think the team around him is very good, and I think he's a very talented player. I tend to believe that the Colts are still going to be a good team, and I'm excited to see if I'm right or not.
Joined by Pat McAfee. Got to follow him on Twitter. If you don't, it's on you, at Pat McAfee Show. Does a fantastic job in broadcasting. Okay, by the way, Chris Ballard's my boy. He was the regional scout that drafted me for the Bears. Me and my family thank him, and we've stayed really tight, man. I knew him all the way going back to college, and we've had him on the show several times. I think he's a star, and the longer he's in Indianapolis, I think the better it is for that organization, because they're in really good hands. The Ryan Grigson days are over. Chris Ballard, he's the real deal, Pat.
I think he really had to come into an interesting situation here, too. I mean, at that point, Irsay had already decided that Chuck Pagano was going to get another year, and he let go of Grigson because he thought he owed Chuck that, especially with all the stories that were coming out with how that relationship was being handled. Andrew Luck doesn't play. Andrew Luck comes back and plays well, and now he's retiring. It's just Chris Ballard has this incredible ability to handle every situation, and you always have faith that he's going to pull through. And that's not a normal thing, I don't think, in the NFL for a lot of their fan bases to feel that way. But with what Chris Ballard has done rebuilding the culture in the Colts facility, rebuilding a lot of things and bridges that were potentially burned, I think he's a talented guy. Even though he looks like he's 12 years old and sounds like he's straight out of a rodeo, I think he is one of the smartest people I've ever talked to when it comes to football. And the entire city of Indianapolis is excited for his era.
When's the last rodeo you've been to, Pat? We have a lot of good rodeos around here, kind of small-town rodeos.
Listen to this, man. I blew it. I went to a rodeo one time here in Indiana at the state fair, okay?
Okay.
And a lady, I was sitting there. I had a big belt buckle on. I had these tight jeans on. I had boots on. I mean, I was playing the part. I looked ridiculous to probably the normal rodeo people, but I figured, you know what, let's go ahead and do this thing. A lady, it was like 7:30 or 8, she buys an entire row of shots for our row and had to go speak somewhere or whatever. And I told her that I couldn't take the shot yet, but I'll take it later. And she screamed at me. She said, "Well, is this your first rodeo?" And I literally missed the opportunity of saying, "This is by the way, this is my first rodeo, right? Because the saying is, this isn't my first rodeo.
Right.
I could have said to her, yeah, this is my first rodeo, actually, lady. I don't know what I'm doing. She, by the way, forced me to take the shot of tequila. I had to go and do an interview down on the dirt with one of the clowns during the thing. It was literally the night of my life. I enjoyed the hell out of it. There was miniature bucking bulls beating the hell out of people. I mean, it was just, it was insanity, and I loved every minute of it. But it doesn't come to Indianapolis as often as it should. I wish I lived in a town where there was a rodeo like every week. Those things seem like a great time.
We definitely have an empty room for you in the state of Oklahoma if you ever want to come. Again, plenty of rodeos for you there, Pat. Pat McAfee's our guest. Go ahead.
Dusty.
Yeah.
Do you guys have those miniature bucking bulls?
Oh, sure. Mark's got one in his backyard, man.
All right. That's what we do.
That's what we do after we have a couple of pops.
There's a documentary on this online. It's really good. The prison rodeo at the state penitentiary. And so they let the prisoners out there, and they tape $100 bills between the bull's horns, and they come over the loudspeaker and say, these guys work 60 hours a week and make $8. So, $100 would go a long way. But that was, they don't do it anymore. It's very entertaining.
Hey, you know, those types of situations, you got to take the bull by the horns. And you got to grab that little bucking bull and get that $100 because the amount of commissary you can buy in the prison with $100, I assume, is high. I would love to come to a prison rodeo. I would love to come to a small town rodeo. But most importantly, I just want a bucking bull to call a pet. That's literally all I want.
That would be pretty phenomenal. I think Larry Allen once had a rhinoceros. I thought that was pretty cool. But a bucking bull, that might outdo that. All right, let's talk about
a miniature bucking bull.
My apologies.
Yeah, just a little.
Let's talk about your new gig with ESPN, because I can't wait for Thursday night. You stole my partner, by the way. I just want you to know I'm letting you borrow Adam. We had him on yesterday. But you're also working with one of your former teammates, and I know good buddy Matt Hasselbeck. We are so excited. I'm excited as an employee at ESPN, but also as a fan of college football, to see you three guys in the booth with my girl Molly McGrath on the sideline. Talk to us about what we should expect from this broadcast starting this week.
Well, I think the cast you just read off there is such a professional and talented one. Adam Amin has been nothing but a godsend to me and to Hasselbeck. And I think he has like over 1,500 broadcasted games in his 9-year career at ESPN. So I understand that you got a chance to work with him. You've said good things about him. Everybody that's ever worked with a guy has said positive things about him. And now he's getting tossed into a primetime booth with two guys who have less than 4 games of a broadcasting experience combined. So he's going to have to be pretty talented. I'm excited to see how it goes. And Molly is the consummate professional. Her energy is incredible. And me and Matt have a great chemistry. So I think it's going to be a lot like a potential train wreck. You know, people want to see if the train wreck will happen. I think it will either be incredible or a little bit off the rails. But I do know that we're going to make football on Thursday nights as entertaining as we possibly can. And I think Cincinnati-UCLA on Thursday is going to be a hell of a game. And Nippert Stadium, I've been told by many members of the student section that they are going to be lit, is their words. So I think the environment's going to be awesome on Thursday night. And I think Adam Amin's talent is really going to show why he carries me and Matt Hasselbeck.
I kind of like Cincinnati as a team. I know Ohio State's got a lot of people to replace. Do they have any chance in that game? I would think they've got a good chance on this one against UCLA.
I really like what Cincinnati's doing. I got a chance to go out to their training camp, which is here in Indiana, and it's kind of like a Remember the Titans feel, where they escape out into the middle of nowhere in this, it's called Camp Higher Ground. It's like these 700 acres out in the middle of nowhere where they stay out in these rooms and get away from all the distractions. And that team seems to really be coming together. Last year they got 11 wins out of nowhere. And now they kind of have a standard set. They got a young team with a lot of experience and a lot of wins, and I like what Coach Fickell's doing a lot. That second week they're playing Ohio State. I don't want to say get too far ahead of it, but I like that Cincinnati team a lot. And then obviously Chip Kelly's coming to town. Has had success kind of everywhere he's went. Last year wasn't great, but they had an entire offseason together. I think it's going to be a really good game, but I love that Cincinnati football team. I'm a big fan of what Coach Fickell's got going on over there.
That's enough analysis, dude. Come on. Let's talk about what's important. Are you rocking the bolo tie on Thursday or not?
Every atmosphere deserves its own costume, you know, and I have a lot of blue and black suit coats. That's kind of all I got.
And I believe Cincinnati is going to be wearing black and UCLA is going to be wearing blue. So no matter what I wear, it's going to piss somebody off. But I don't know if I have a bolo on that first night. It depends on where we're at. You know, I like to dress for the occasion. Cincinnati, good, hardworking Midwestern people down there. They like beer. I haven't put the costume together yet, but hopefully I'll look clean, and hopefully ESPN won't fire me after the first game.
Are you going to have anything to eat in the booth?
That was my, our big thing 2 years ago, bro. They used to bring me all kinds of food up there. It was fantastic.
I didn't even know that was possible. These are things that I don't know. If I can get food delivered to me, I am all about a good food job. And if that's possible, I'll do that. I think Adam Amin is a big food guy, too. He was like, hey, I'll find the restaurant for us to go to the night before. I love good restaurants. I like eating good food. So I think I'm kind of just along for the ride, seeing what all happens. But any of those little tips that you have, like food being able to be delivered to the booth, like those are things that I would love to hear from an experienced guy who's talented like yourself.
America loves to see people eat food on television. I don't know why, but I can tell you 2 years ago with Adam, we probably did it 7 times, and that was the biggest buzz we got. These are the crazy dudes that eat food on TV. So when in doubt, if the analysis sucks, if your clothing isn't good, maybe you cuss on air, who knows what's going to happen. If you just grab a taco or a hot dog and shove it down your pie hole, everybody's going to be happy. All is well in the world.
Now we're talking. I was just kind of recanting in my head there if I would enjoy watching somebody kind of house a hot dog right there on air, and I think I would. So, I mean, you're scratching me where I itch right now, and all these are great keys to victory on Thursday night, and I appreciate it.
Pat, I really appreciate it. You're a busy, busy man. For all my listeners, go check him out on Twitter, at Pat McAfee Show. You'll be able to see him every Thursday this college football season. He's got a great podcast, too, the Pat McAfee Show. We appreciate it, buddy. Hope we get a chance to do it again this year.
Hey, who's Mark Rogers? Do you know who Mark Rogers is?
Never heard of it. He's some slappy. I have no idea. Of course, man. It's the guy you're talking to, Pat. Come on.
I didn't know that, Mark.
That's all right.
Mark,
yes.
I'm looking at your Twitter profile right now, the picture you just sent me. You're
yes.
a guy that I should have known before this call, and I apologize for that, and I'll never make this mistake again. But that's a good-looking miniature bucking bull you got right there in front of you on the internet. I cannot
Thank
wait
you.
To buy one of those.
Yeah, we can't wait to get you to Oklahoma, man. We'll get you on one of those things.
Hey, I am in. I've heard the little one's got attitude problems, though. I heard the little one's got attitude problems. I would like a friendly bucking bull if I'm going to hop on the backside of one.
We'll do our best to find it. Thanks, Pat. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
There you go, Pat. Pat McAfee.
That's an interesting challenge. I can tell you this. I do not want to be on a bull, a real bull. No, thank you. I mean, that is a scary, scary thing. If you've been down there close to a real bull or, you know, that's gonna be in a rodeo. But a miniature bull, that's a different deal. I think maybe I could take a miniature bull.
I kind of hear what Pat's saying, though. What if it has,
like 3 feet high?
Small bull syndrome. You know what I mean? Like little man syndrome? I mean, maybe.
I was watching
something.
The rodeo.
Yeah.
I was watching the rodeo the other night. I don't know why. It was late night, and I had the rodeo on. And, man, those bulls, I mean, you know how high they can they kick? It's incredible.
Yes, it is. Where are you at?
And those horns, I'm sure even on a little bull, those horns can still cause some damage. I'm at Edward Grimes Law, edwardgrimeslaw.com. If you have been bucked off a mini bull and you need a lawyer to handle that, he can. He can handle anything. He's a student, personal injury, workers' comp, divorce, probate, wills, Social Security, disability, more. And he's going to give you one-on-one direct access to him. You're not going to be sloughed off to somebody down in the staff that may have just got accepted to law school. 405-245-1882. 405-245-1882. EdwardGrimesLaw.com.
The Morning Animals.
Buck is my new friend.
After 10 seasons in the NFL, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Mark, I mean, I think that probably this Andrew Luck stuff is hitting home with Rob Gronkowski and yesterday talking. Definitely sounds like he's leaving the door open for his return, but needed to step away from football when he did, which I feel like most people respected and understood. And when you listen to him talk right there, if somebody can't respect that, I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. And I would say Rob Gronkowski would be the last person I would ever say is soft in any way, shape, or form. Dude's about as tough as they come.
Gronk's kind of an open book, man. He doesn't hold back from who he is. He's, you know, he just does what he wants to do. So I get the emotion there.
Listen to this, guys. This comes from a Patriots beat reporter. This may have been from the same event, but Gronk said he slept for 5 minutes after he won the Super Bowl and was in tears because of the quad injury he sustained in the first half. Before that Super Bowl, he couldn't sleep for more than 20 minutes at a time for 4 months and had a liter of blood removed from his quad. Like, no wonder he retired.
That doesn't sound like much fun to me. Tough to have much joy in life when you're dealing with all that. Rob Gronkowski, to me, is a gladiator, man. You know, we heard that word used last hour. I've always thought of him as just that. I mean, tough, physical, hard-nosed. I mean, just everything you're looking for in a football player. I mean, he's a Gronk. And I guess they kind of, in a way, in a quarterback way, kind of thought the same of Andrew Luck. But both guys have decided to hang it up. Gronk, obviously, earlier this summer, and now we hear from Andrew Luck last weekend. And I don't know. It's obviously sparked a lot of discussion, but I guess I'm just one that thinks, especially as it relates to health, happiness, and the toll that the game of football can take on your body, especially at that level, I find it hard to be overly critical of anybody that wants to determine when their time is up. But that being said, I hope both Rob and Luck, I hope that they're able to get their bodies right, and if they want, I'd love to see them back on a football field because they're two of the best at their specific crafts that we've seen.
I need a Zeke update. I did have fantasy football drafts at the Wazoo on Sunday. The OU season opener on Sunday has caused havoc in the fantasy football schedule. Hey, people ain't scared of Zeke. He's going in the first round of every draft. I don't think he's going to play in the opener.
Well, he better show up.
What do you mean? I mean, like, when
I'm just saying, if he's going to play in the opener, he better show up.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's coming.
I mean, it's a good sign that he came back to the United States. I mean, it's harder to play from Cancun than it is from Dallas. But he
Cabo.
Sorry, that's a long way on the other side of Mexico. Are you optimistic? Just because he's been kind of out of the news lately, other than Marshall Faulk is posturing for an agent's job.
I'm not optimistic, no.
Don't you guys find it strange that out of all these three guys, Zeke, Dak, and Amari, have all been offered top five salaries, at least if you pay attention to the reports, but none of them have taken it? Like, what sense does that make?
This
non-guaranteed contracts that they're handing them, or what?
Does it? No, it's just wanting more.
Going the way the Cowboys, I think, anticipated this.
Jalen Smith took a reasonable deal. I don't think he was looking to break the bank. I think for his position, what he's getting, like $11 million a year to play at linebacker, he got some good guaranteed money. And I think he was happy with that. And I think that Dak clearly wants even more than what's being offered. Amari as well. And we know Zeke wants to be the highest paid running back in football. So, no, it doesn't make sense. I think that they're just – Zeke is one of the best players at his position. I don't think Amari Cooper's a top five receiver. I don't think Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback. So if you're basing what they should be compensated off of, you know, where they are in the grand scheme of things in the league at their position, I would say Dak and Amari should sign that deal quicker than you know what. I mean, it should have been done. Like, that's a great deal for them, and one that it's probably more than myself as a Cowboy fan really wants to see Jerry step up and pay. But I, at this point, to me, you don't continue to offer more just to get a deal done. If Dak feels he's worth that much money, let him go earn it next year. We saw that happen with Joe Flacco, right? Joe Flacco bet on himself. Joe Flacco said, no, I don't want to take that deal, Ravens. I'm going to play the year out. He wouldn't want a Super Bowl. Dak, go win a Super Bowl, and then I promise you, Jerry will pay you whatever you want. If not, if that doesn't work out, then the Cowboys will probably franchise you, and at some point you can hit the open market. But until Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl, I don't think that you offer him anything more than what you have at this point. So I don't know, Matt Ravis. It is surprising because I would have thought, had they gotten to those numbers, especially with Amari and Dak, that they would have signed him. Zeke, on the other hand, I think he's bound and determined to be the top-paid running back in football, and I don't know if he's going to sign anything until that's the case.
Yeah, that's a problem for the Cowboys. I mean, they really only have a Ezekiel Elliott problem. They don't have a Dak or Amari Cooper problem because those guys are going to play.
yeah, those guys are going to play. And it, again, like, there is even more incentive for them to go out and play well, right? I mean, because it's go prove it to me. Go show me what you're worth. Not that I think if you pay them, they're going to dial it back or anything like that. But I remember, I think Craig asked me a couple of weeks ago, does it worry me having a, you know, contract negotiation, a contract not signed heading into the season? And it doesn't. It doesn't bother. It doesn't worry me at all, to be honest. Would you like to be able to get it done at the right price and move on about your business? Sure, no question. But at the same time, Dak understands what's at stake. Dak understands that the better he plays, the more games he wins, the more money he's going to be able to go and try to garner, whether it be from the Cowboys or anybody. So if they don't get a deal worked out, I'm not going to – it's not going to scare me too much, because I know that those guys are going to do everything they possibly can to put the best product on the field so that they can make more money. Whereas Zeke, though, he's the wild card in this. And I don't have a good feel on what's going to happen with that, Mark. I haven't this whole time. I don't think until he gets what he wants, he's gonna cave, which, fine.
That sucks for the Cowboys. I mean, it really does. But I can't believe – it's almost like you kind of get into the business of dealing with guys that are foolish, and you get foolishness, clearly. That's what they're getting from Ezekiel Elliott.
I think I hate to say it, because you want to go – I mean, I don't know. I still don't know if he's willing to leave the current contract he has just sitting on the table. I mean, just, you know, what is it, $3.8 million this year I think he's owed? I know it's not anywhere near in the neighborhood of the money he's making, but that's still almost $4 million. Is he going to be willing to let that sit there? Maybe. I mean, we saw Le'Veon Bell leave $14 million on the table last season. So I'm not going to say he won't. But at the same time, if it gets to that point, you and I are, I think, in agreement on this. I trade him, man. I mean, at some point, you just got to cut bait. And I don't know what his trade value is, but I'm not one that hopes it gets to that point. I would love to see a deal get done or him just show up. Just show up. But I don't know, man. I don't know how this ends up.
Okay, so what's it work salary wise for him? He gets a game check, right, Dusty? So
17
he's going to be
checks.
Okay. So he's reduced by whatever game he misses, however many games he misses, then he is he's docked pay for that. So say if he wants to show up for game 8 or 9, then he makes half the money that he would have made.
Yeah. So let's see. I think he's going to make I think it's $3.8 million. Divide that by 17. He's set to make about $223,000 per game check. Obviously, it's got to be taxed, but that's what he'll be passing on each week. Basically, $223,500. And that's essentially what he'd be getting every time he went out there. That's a lot of money to be forfeiting. I don't know how you feel, but
right,
that's some good cheddar.
But again, makes sense for him to show up, and now he's missed training camp, and that's okay, and he's going to go out there and he's going to play in the first game, but nothing Ezekiel Elliott has done so far makes any sense. I mean, he's been given a fair deal, just didn't want to sign it.
Do you think he's there week one?
No, I don't think so. Like I'm saying, all right, we're getting close enough.
I would lean towards no. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Cowboys fans just sitting there on the edge of their seat waiting. Every day I check my phone, check Twitter. What's going on with Zeke? What's he doing?
Mark, how late will Zeke fall before you take him in fantasy drafts?
I wouldn't take him in the first two rounds. I'd wait till the third. But, I mean, again, every draft I've been in, he's gone to the first.
Yeah, he's going like 6-7 in just about every draft I've done.
You'd wait till the third round? Oh, if I could get him in the second, I'd take him. It'd be worth it.
Especially that's big time risk. You definitely got to go grab a backup if you.
Well,
draft
what you
early.
Would do is you'd get Tony Pollard.
Yes, exactly.
You'd have to take Tony Pollard way before he should go. That's you'd have to do that if you're going to draft Zeke. You got to hedge, and the only problem is going to be there may be, you know, everybody knows if you get Zeke, you're going to want Tony Pollard too. So, but yeah, you definitely have to. I think grab him as well.
It's just interesting. Like Zeke is obviously better than Melvin Gordon. I think probably most people would agree with that. But Zeke's still going first round. Melvin Gordon's going like round 4. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't touch Melvin Gordon. He's only got, I mean, his contract, his situation, I think that he's just, he'll set out a year. Guys, to me, he got hurt on a plane ride last year.
And Melvin Gordon, I'd have to look at his numbers, but I don't put him in the same, he's not as valuable as Zeke.
He doesn't
catch the ball. I mean, just the overall amount of touches. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, it's why Zeke wants to be paid. They have used him and used him and used him. I mean, his usage is off the charts between carries and also, and I didn't realize it until we talked about this about a month ago, how much they threw him the ball. I mean, what did Zeke have, over 70 catches last year? 73 catches or something? I mean, he's getting a lot of touches. I think his touches were north of 350. I mean, he got more touches in that offense last year than I think anybody else in the league, and I can't imagine that's going to go down.
That'll be a big loss.
77 big loss. Receptions.
77, there you go. What was his carries, 300?
Let's see here, 304.
304. 381 touches last year for Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, so I don't know what Melvin Gordon's were, but I bet they weren't near in that ballpark. I think the other aspect of Zeke, or just whoever you're going to have, the Cowboys' run game in general, Travis Frederick, him being back on that offensive line is huge for the Dallas Cowboys. Huge. I mean, I don't know if I can really give it the credit it deserves, but Travis Frederick is one of the best centers in football, and just the continuity he had with Martin next to him, and when you have Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick as three anchors along the offensive line, that is a good group. Very, very good.
I'm at Edward Grimes Law today, Dusty, 405-245-1882. Direct access to a trusted lawyer, my guy Edward Grimes. He's a student personal injury, workers' comp, divorce, probate, will, social security, disability, and much, much more. And free consultation, 405-245-1882. Edward is a native Oklahoman, husband and father of two daughters, supports the Energy FC, which is on a nice, good roll here right now. So we invite you to visit his website, or if there's anything going on that you have a question about, call for your free consult today at Edward Grimes Law, 245-1882. Stay tuned.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
How about the Saints after the lawsuit?
Support. Sources, owners push for an expanded season. Shocker. Looking to go. It says here the ideas continue. We talked about this last week. The four preseason games, it seems like it's inevitable. It's going away. They're looking to get to 18 or 17 games. It says that they would simply add an extra round of playoffs. I don't know if I love that, but so if they went to 17, they could add an extra round of playoffs, but they're looking to expand the regular season. And I've said this a lot, Mark. It's very simple to me. If they want to expand the season, I think that they'll be able to, but it's going to come at changing the CBA and changing how you compensate players. Meaning, like I said earlier, we were talking about Zeke. Players are paid over 17 weeks, okay? You can't now just take the exact same salary and then divide it by 19. You can't pay them the same and ask them to play in two more games. It doesn't work that way. So, and this would take each team would have to do it, but if you're willing to pay each of those players, right, at the rate they're currently at, that same extra two game checks, well, I think then maybe there's something to talk about because – I don't see any way this deal gets done or is even a talking point unless the owners are willing to do that. But if they're willing to pay the players more money for those games, it won't shock me if we see it go to 18 or 17 games.
Fans are going to pay for this one way or the other.
Yeah, it's going to be on the fans. That's right.
Tickets are going to be a little bit more expensive.
Yep.
And that's where it goes.
The only thing is... That is a legitimate. There should be more revenue coming in from the TV. So that could be some of it, right? Because now Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN, now you've got two more weeks of legitimate content that you're going to be able to provide.
And obviously that's going to mean you can sell more advertising, right? That's how this whole thing works. Whereas you don't get that with the preseason. So there should be, again, a lot of things that have to be reworked for this to happen, but they should be able to generate some of that revenue they're going to have to shell out to the players that way. But I'm with you. Some way, at some point, there will be a burden that's put on the fan shoulders, which sucks for them.
Do not, under any circumstances, come up with a rule that allows somebody to only participate in a certain amount of games. Like, you can only play 16 out of an 18-game schedule. That's a horrible idea.
Terrible. No, you can't. That's worth no one's time. Right? I mean, that's the last thing people want to see. And
if there were 82 games, like an NBA season, maybe. I don't know. It's just a bad idea overall.
It's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea because those games matter. And, I mean, even in the NBA, there's at least 82 games. Even an 18-game schedule, wins and losses mean that much more when there's fewer games to play. So I can't imagine that, you're in a heated playoff race and your quarterback has hit his allotment of games or whatever it is, and you got to fire out a backup just because, he can't play anymore. Or you're looking ahead, maybe there's four games left and he's got to sit out one, and now you start trying to pick what's the, that's a nightmare scenario, in my opinion. That's got flaws and problematic for the NFL written all over it.
Right.
If you're going to pay him, and this is the part that's so interesting to me, and it makes it, I think, a little bit complex, is that the NFL is, on one hand, trying to promote player safety and, less hitting and just overall better player safety. But if you add two regular season games, we know how taxing these games are. It kind of is on the opposite end of that spectrum. But I think that, all that being said, even though we're in a millennial world where I'm told that, guys are soft and they're not tough, if you pay them, they would sign off on adding two extra games. That's for sure. Guys would love a couple extra game checks.
Right. Well, it'll probably happen. I think that the preseason situation has reached critical mass right now.
Yeah, there's no question. I would say the likability for the preseason is at an all-time low.
We're going to have running clocks on Thursday night?
No.
Why,
what do you mean?
Was last running preseason? Clock? Last preseason games of the year. Where?
Oh, you mean this Thursday? I thought you meant just Thursday games in general. I was like, I don't know. What's going on there?
No. I mean, this Thursday, they're probably.
They might as well. Final cuts coming up, man. Final cuts will be on Sunday. Black Sunday.
You have any interesting stories on final cuts?
No, I never got cut, so I don't actually. I know it's teammates. A stressful time for a lot of players. That's for
right.
sure.
I bet.
I was after I tore my ACL my last year in Chicago. I was released medically, but I had 9 months of rehab in front of me, so. It wasn't like that. And then I never got back in. Mm-hmm. That's when I went and played in the UFL for a couple of years. So I never really had to experience that, but I definitely saw teammates, players, and everybody, unless you're a superstar, you're at least somewhat worried. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's an incredibly busy time for agents trying to find guys, positions and situations where they might be able to play, in other spots.
Yeah. No doubt. It's a stressful time for players, too, boy. Man, they – cut day, you're always – you do not want the phone to ring. You know what I mean? It's like right. A lot of times you're always waiting for a phone call. The best phone call on cut day is the one that doesn't come. That means you got a job.
Right. Yeah.
So two more days, man. What we you got any games in the crosshairs yet? Have you looked at any any games that you like lines on?
I have. I've looked at a couple of them. I think the Auburn-Oregon game is certainly going to be in the mix for me.
I don't like that because I know we're on the same side.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. Typically, if we're all in agreement, never. Auburn's a 3.5-point favorite, man. We haven't even looked at lines yet. We got to do a better job. Tomorrow we got to go through some of these point spreads. How about Texas, a 20.5-point favorite over La Tech? Seems like a low number.
Again, these metrics on Herman and the spread are pretty incredible. I mean, as a big favorite, he's not very good against the number. As an underdog, he's gold. I don't know if there's anything to it long term, but it's possible.
Oklahoma line's come down a little bit. The other day when I looked on Sunday night, it was 24.5. It says 23 here on ESPN.
That has to be a, you know, that's a public side, right?
On Houston?
Yeah, Houston. Just seems pretty easy to be on Houston.
Probably so. I mean, I think that over-under total is just so crazy to me. I mean, 82.5, 83 points. That's as big a number for an opener as I can remember. It's a massive number. Here's the problem.
I think it's an under game.
I've got it as an under two. I did it. I said 48-28. I guess I can always change that by Thursday.
I mean, that's a pretty high score.
76.
How many running backs are going to play, Dusty, on Sunday night?
4 or 5.
Okay.
4 or 5.
That's a big difference. I mean, to me, if it's 5, it becomes really interesting. I'm counting about tailbacks, not blocking backs.
No. H-backs. Okay. No. Okay. Kennedy Brooks.
Yeah.
Gonna play. Right. Trey Sermon gonna play. I think TJ Pleasure could definitely play. Won't shock me if we see Marcus Major at some point. I mean, I think Marcus Major will probably redshirt, but we're gonna see him play. I mean, he got 4 games he can play.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Stevenson kid, he's going to play. Big kid, man. It's JUCO running back, Mark.
He's a as a JUCO running back, he's going to play, right? I mean, there's no use in
saying. He's definitely going to play. So I'm saying 4, and I'm saying 5 would be if Marcus Major plays. And it won't surprise me if he plays. I think score is somewhat conducive to that. But they are loaded at running back.
Who's going to take the first snap?
Who's going to take the first snap at running back?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be 2 backs. Maybe you see Trey and Kennedy back there.
That would be interesting.
How many 1,000-yard rushers do you think they have this year? I think they got a chance to have 3.
Wow. So Hurts would be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year they had 3, didn't they? Or Kennedy Brooks was just shy?
I think he was Sherman. Sherman did not have 1,000.
Yes, Sherman had 947. Sherman had 947. I think Kyler went over 1,000 in the playoff game, and Kennedy Brooks.
That's a good prop.
I think he had just around 1,000. Yeah, 1,056. So they were just a shade off of having 3 to 1,000.
I would say under 3, but because I think they're going to still going to throw the football quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, it just depends. I mean, there's some things in the schedule that if one guy got hurt or something like that, then they had to go with 2 other guys. I mean, that could happen. But
how many people across the country, because you hear air raid, right, and you just think Mike Leach 20 years ago, third round. How many people do you think that even cover the game well would have any idea that Oklahoma was close to having 3,000-yard rushers last year?
I bet not many.
I think that just goes to show Craig had a great point earlier we've talked about a lot, but Lincoln Riley, he's morphed this offense. There's still air raid principles, and they still do things he learned way back at Tech, but he's also a guy that recognizes his personnel and understands how important a quality running game really is. Mark, one more time, where you been today?
EdwardGrimesLaw.com, 405-245-1882. You're going to have direct access to Edward, a trusted lawyer here, regularly scheduled meetings to discuss the status of your case. He handles it all, personal injury, workers' comp, divorce, probate, will, Social Security, disability, and more, really anything that you have. And it's going to be a free consultation if you give them a call. If you have an issue that you think maybe you can use some help, Edward Grimes will consult you, 245-1882, edwardgrimeslaw.com.
Don't want to miss the podcast. Doug Gottlieb joined us today to talk Andrew Luck. Also, Pat McAfee was fantastic. It should be a great listen. 21-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Monsters of the Midday.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus Oregon State.